Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says later, they can't enter the kingdom of God too. Let's pray together. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his? Not saying you haven't on any day or even this day, but if you have even this day, say it again. I love you. You are my strength, Lord. And then let your prayer give thanks. We just sang it. Give thanks for who the Lord is, what he does, what he reveals, how he leads us through. Be grateful. We overflow with thanksgiving. Take a moment and pray for other people. Praying for them is not the least we could do, it's the most we could do. So there are people who overlap into your life. Sometimes you wonder, what can I do for them? Well, here's the best thing you can do for them is to pray for them. Lift them up, their name, their person, to our Heavenly Father. Take a moment, stand in the gap for them. We pray for the nations. Don't ever quit praying for the nations. Praying for peace with Russia, Ukraine, with Israel, Gaza, the peace of Jerusalem. We pray even other uprisings in the Middle East already. We just pray for peace. We'll continue to pray for that. We also pray that in the midst of that, we are peacemakers. We pray for our own nation. I want to remind you that peace will come through the person of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And even in our own conversations, let's be people of peace, not agitators, but folks of peace. So pray for the peace of our nation, our state, our area, even our own lives. Let's ask the Lord to bless our offerings today. Out in the parking lot, there's one trailer that stays here that we house and take care of with disaster relief. There are two others out there. You'll hear about them later. What a great ministry it is. Even your monies, not only what your tithe, but also above and beyond that, goes to support such ministries as Kentucky Disaster Relief. And they're here today just in transition. With the hurricane, with the tornadoes in Mississippi and Alabama, they may be headed there. They're looking to get assessment on where to go next. You give to that. You give to the frontline relief and recovery efforts. And I even want you to pray for them. Pray for disaster relief. It's a great blessing of ministry. But we ask the Lord to bless our offerings, which even support such ministries. Whether you gave today electronically or you give in any other way, ask the Lord to bless it. And then remember, we offer our lives today, living sacrifices of surrender to him. Sent. We are sent by God into this world. And today, we ask him to send us. We give our lives as an offering to him. Take a moment and pray a blessing of people who are around you, even if you don't know them. And then pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Lord, if you give me a word of knowledge, Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it if you prompt me with it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. On me is a great judgment, a strict judgment. Just honestly, you're tougher on me than you are on anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you guys. We're in our series called Switch. Last Sunday, we shared some of our time with Gideon's International and just really gave you an intro into what we were going to be doing as a series. But it's the word switch. It's a picture of just the transformation of the Lord. I want you to write this down. I want you to put it in your phone. You may write it on the back of the person in front of you. Just don't write on the wall. But we're living from victory, not for victory, okay? We're going to say this all the time during our Easter focus. We're not going to practice during Lent season or Easter focus generosity and praying and fasting for victory. We already have it. Those are spiritual disciplines. We're doing what we do from victory. We got to learn and to think and to realize the truth that we live from victory, not hoping that we get victory. We already have it in the Lord. So put that down, write it in your phone, put it in your notes, in your phones or whatever, because I have that place that I go to a lot when I'm thinking of something, I don't want to forget it, which happens often. And I put that in there just as a reminder to me. So we're going to look at John 3 for a moment. We're going to start with John 3, 1, and we're going to tell the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, and we're going to bring an emphasis to this. Please know that there's going to be a time in this conversation where Jesus says to Nicodemus, there's got to be a switch. There's got to be a transformation that occurs in your life, and I want to prompt you with that before we even get to that point. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus. The Jewish people were broken up mainly into two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pharisees were basically a city people. They were the city folk. Sadducees were more or less the rural or the country folk. And some distinct belief systems there between the two. This is an old joke. I'm going to resurrect it from the past, okay? But for all of you who are younger, I hope you enjoy it. Those of you who are older, I'm expecting a moan, okay? But the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a little bit of different belief. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and so it made them sad, you see. I told you I'd get a moan. So there's a difference there between the two. The Pharisees are people who, it was all about their image. It was all about the outside, not the inside. For example, we use Matthew 6 as an outline for our Easter season of generosity and praying and fasting. And Jesus said there in Matthew 6, when you give, it was like mainly the Pharisees, because they give and they want people to know what they gave. Or when you pray, don't pray like them, because they pray out loud and it's flowery language and look at me instead of your focus on the Father. And then it's when you're fasting, don't look real chalky. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. I got to tell you this. This is just the way I am with my life. I just try to be real transparent when it comes to fasting. But they're saying don't act like you're fasting when you're not. You know, don't put ashes on you so that you look chalky and when you're really not fasting, or you want people to pay attention to it. So Julie and I, we're watching sweets and sugar in our life at home. And so there's a lady in our neighborhood. She bakes all the time. She's incredible. So she texted me yesterday, and she said, I've got this banana walnut chocolate cake for you all. Whew, telling you. So she says, won't you come get it? I said, okay. So last night I went to get it, and I said, Julie, we can't eat this till Sunday. I said, and it sat there, and I mean, it's just talking to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just, hey, psst, hey, Jeffro, you know, and it just. So I get up in the middle of the night. I went to bed fairly early, but so I get up to get something to drink, and it's 11:50. Y'all know where I'm going, right? It's 11:50. And so I'm going, at 12:01, I can eat this bad boy, you know? And so I stood at the sink, leaning on the sink, watching it rain so that I wouldn't look at the clock. And so I tore into it. I just want you to know at 12:01, I stayed with it, all right? I hung in there, no 11:59. Even Julie's got some of the clocks running a little faster than others. And I was like, man, I can use those. And then, no, I can't, you know. So anyway, he said to them, don't act like you're fasting or make it visible where you're calling attention to yourself. Because Pharisees looked on the outside. Everything was about image. That could absolutely be a part of our culture today as well. But Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. He knew the law. He knew scripture. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. If you want to bring it into our little bit of understanding, maybe he was in the Senate or the House in their area. It's a judiciary council that he was a part of that actually ruled on things that were going on. So this is who Nicodemus is. I want you to know that Nicodemus would have been a part of generosity. He would have been a part of praying and fasting. He would have been a part of those things. And that's important here in just a moment. So in verse two, he said, this man Nicodemus came to the Lord at night. That's important to bring up. There's a concealment here. I want to talk to Jesus, but it may be best if I talk to him in secret. He said that he calls him rabbi, which is honorable, respectful, meaning teacher. And then he says, we know. Very important phrase there. He says, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. We know. We've seen the signs and the wonders. We've seen the miracles. We've seen your ministry. And we know that you are from God. That whole phrasing there is going to be very important at the end. So hang on to that. We know who you are, that you are with God. Then in verse 3 that I read to you, Jesus answers him and he replies, want to go back to verse 2, and not on the screen, but for just reference. And Nicodemus never does ask him a question. There's no question asked. Jesus answers him already without the question being asked. Some people think the question is implied, and it's basically an implied question of who are you? Because we've seen all these things. We know that you are of God, but who are you really? I get that. But Jesus answers him before he actually asks the question. And he says, I assure you, that whole line, even in if you've got the verily, verilys in there, the double verilies in your translation, it just means a double emphasis on I'm about to tell you the truth. Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Nicodemus believed that there was another way. I want to remind you that there isn't. You'll come up with it. Other people will tell you there are other ways. There is only one way to the Father, and that is the way of Christ. I've told you as a pastor, and I tell you not to be right, but I tell you because I love you. And if you're a part of any belief system where Jesus is not the Son of God, he is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you need to run away from it as fast as you can, all right? What Jesus is telling Nicodemus here, he's telling him that, I know you know the law. I know you know the scriptures. It's hotter than a firecracker up here too, by the way. I just want you to know that he knows all these things. He even practices things that are good, moral. But he's saying, I'm the fulfillment of everything that you're looking for. So when he says to him, unless someone is born again in line with our series, he's saying there is a switch that needs to occur. And when Jesus says born again, he's talking about being made new, that it's a process and a happening at the same time. So in verse 4, Nicodemus responds in a very logical way. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asks him, can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Very logical way to respond. And then in verse 5, Jesus responds again with the two truths. I'm going to tell you the truth. Unless someone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The picture of water here can be a logical one. A lot of people lean this way. I'm going to tell you in a moment, I lean toward the picture of baptism. But a lot of people are saying it could be water because we know that in the process of birthing a child, that a woman will break her water, and then it's pretty much we need to get to the hospital. We need to get in a delivery phase. So there's some people that think that that is true. While I believe it's talking about and leaning toward baptism, and I want to explain that to you for just a moment. The picture of baptism is very important to Jesus because he was baptized, not because he was lost and found. It's he is salvation. And then he asked the church to do this. Baptism is not some ritual that we came up with on our own. It's a command of Christ to be baptized. Even in the Great Commission after the resurrection, he instructs us to go into all the world and to teach them and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism becomes important because of the picture, the symbolism. It's the death and burial of Christ going under the water, coming up out of the water. It is the picture of the resurrection of Jesus. I want to say this to you in a pastor shepherding mode for just a moment. Some people will say that baptism is the first step of obedience. I think it's the second. I think the first one is to surrender your life to Christ. Amen. Then the second one would be to be baptized. I want to explain this to you for a moment, and I want to do it in a common sense, a very common sense, bottom line kind of way. Sometimes we can have a problem with living faithfully when you have surrendered your life to Christ, but you didn't follow in baptism. That's not something we drew up. That's a command of Christ. And he told the church to remember him in two ways. One is the Lord's Supper, and one is baptism. Those are his instructions, not ours. And both of those ordinances of the church, ordinance is not your word, just let it be mine, okay? But both of those are about us remembering his death. So he asked us to be baptized. And if you're trying to live a faithful life, but yet you have stepped over the obedient step of baptism, it becomes very difficult. You hear me pray that when I pray, it's James 3:1, that the Lord loves all of us, but for me as a pastor, he's tougher on me than he's tougher on you. Because there's a stricter judgment on those who teach his word, a greater and a more strict judgment. Now, here's the point that I want to bring up to you, is the scripture says that if I can't lead the Eaton family, that I have no shot of leading the Hope family. That my first designation of leadership is that I lead my family well. That's the first picture of it. Now, I can't serve you faithfully and mistreat Julie. In other words, I can't step over that and be this faithful pastor that if I'm not also faithfully leading Julie. There's a mandate on my life with scripture that says I've got to lead the Eaton family before I lead the Hope family. And in that, it's like you can't jump over baptism and not do it and then live this faithful life. It becomes very difficult because there's a step missing. And you're going, well, preacher, you're getting a little bit too much into logistics and too much of checking off the list. I'm not. So the picture here is you to be born again, you got to be born of water. And you've not that water baptism saves you. That's not what we're saying here. It's just I am identifying with Christ when I'm baptized, death, burial, and resurrection. So I'm just going to tell you, it's not out of pointing anybody out. It's just out of pastoring you and shepherding you and loving you and guiding you. If you've surrendered your life to Christ and you've never been baptized, let's talk, okay? The pond's warming up. Let's talk. Let's get things in line here of taking the faithful steps that you have toward the Lord. And he says you're born of water. And then, and we're going to bring that into scripture here in just a moment as well. And he says, you're also born into spirit. You know, the Father leads you. And then at that point of believing, we believe that the Holy Spirit fills you. Let me show you where we get that. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Paul carries on the teaching of Christ here. This is what he says. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in him, when you first believed in him, there's something that happened. There is a birthing process that occurred, and it's a spiritual birthing process. It said, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you first believed, the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, you believed in him, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Then verse 14, he is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. So go back to 13, Kim, if you will. Excuse me. It says that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Guys, I would have just taken that. At the point of born again, salvation, word of truth, gospel of salvation, first believed, I would have just taken the deal of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. But having the Holy Spirit is only a deposit, as great as he is, of all that is to follow for you. Back to verse 14. He's a down payment of our inheritance that the Lord has in store for us. So Paul takes up that teaching of water and spirit being born again. The same thing happens with Simon Peter. He takes up that teaching as well in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He's given us, see it, new birth. He picks up the language of being born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, then he merges with Paul's teaching as well about what's in store for us when that happens. Not only are we sealed with the Holy Spirit, but we have an inheritance, imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Verse 5, and you are being protected by God's power through faith, for salvation that is ready to be revealed and matured even in the last day. I wanted you to see that picture that Paul and Peter continue on in the teaching of Jesus about the Holy Spirit and being born again and being made new. And there's a switch. There's absolutely a switch that happens in our life. Romans 6, 4. It's going to bring up baptism. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness or the new way of life. That's being born again. He's telling Nicodemus that the only way you can get, you can see the kingdom or you can enter the kingdom is that you are made new. That you have to be born again with water and spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. You all should know this one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Praise the Lord. Old things have passed away. And look, new things have come our way. So the newness of life is not a new hair change, not a new wardrobe change, not paint on the walls, not a new subdivision, not a new car, not in what we do or don't do to our body. It is the newness of life can only come through the switch of being born again by the power of Christ, who is our salvation. Here becomes a problem. Nicodemus was generous. I'm sure he was generous. You'll see that in a minute. I'm sure he prayed and fasted, and those are good things to practice. But those things will not bring victory for you. We work from the victory of the work of Christ, not for things that we do, meaning we do things and we get the victory. We already have the victory. Even though Nicodemus was generous in praying and fasting, he would not see the kingdom of heaven. He would not enter the kingdom of heaven, neither will you. You can practice these things, be a part of these things, but there has to be a place where you and I are born again, water and spirit, newness of life, all of that. I'm preaching a funeral tomorrow. I've already been working on it. I'll finalize it this afternoon. And in the sermon tomorrow, I'm going to talk about new life, abundant life, and eternal life. That the only way you can have new life is through Christ. Not keeping these things, keeping the law, keeping the checkoff list will not take care of it. You have got to identify with the work and the sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So there is a new life. I'm going to speak about abundant life. If we're not careful, all of us will think that abundant living is problem and suffering free. It's not true. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that it's true. But abundant life is that he will lead me through it. It's not that through him I dodge it. In fact, he says suffering will probably be more a part of your life in following him. But he will lead us through. It's a promise. That's abundant living. That I can live in faith and trust that he has not abandoned me and that he will lead me through. And then obviously the picture of eternal life. With Nicodemus, and I told you earlier on, this is important, where he said, we know that you are connected to God by your signs and your wonders, by your ministry, by your miracles. We know that you are connected. Do you know, can I just give you the man language of this? And then, ladies, you'll think deeper into it, but just let me be my tribe, okay, here, and just give you the man language. Is Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you think I'm connected to God? I just want you to know that you can be too. It's not just you figuring out that I am. It's that you need to figure out that you can be too. And the way for that to happen is through me. That's it. You may say, hey, preacher, why you always point me to Jesus? Why do you think I'm always pointing you to Jesus? He's the only chance you have. He's the only way you have. You'll disagree with me. I know some will disagree with me. Listen, Scripture clearly says there is no other way than through the person and the work of Jesus. We may wonder about Nicodemus. He's mentioned again in John 7. I want to bring you to John 19 for a moment. What happened? Did he believe or not? I'm leaning that he did. Okay, and I'm using these passages when I lean that way. This is after the crucifixion of Jesus. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might remove Jesus' body. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took his body away. Verse 39. Nicodemus, who had previously come to him at night, also came, bringing a mixture of about 75 pounds of myrrh and alloys. See the generosity there? Verse 40, then they, Joseph and Nicodemus, they took Jesus' body, they wrapped it in linen clothes with the spices, the aromatic spices, according to the burial custom of the Jews. We find him coming with questions that he never asked, but Jesus answered. I love that about Jesus. I've got a lot of questions. He's got a lot of answers. Let me help you out. They all point to him. Okay? They all point to him. Then when we find this in John 19, I see him coming out of gratitude to help and to probably say thanks for all that he has done. I want to remind you that John writes the famous verse that we see so often and probably sometimes overlook, and it's John 3:16. Please remember that for God so loved you, the world, and he does love the world. He doesn't hate it. In this way, that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him, and I like this part, will not perish. Why? I've been born again, water and spirit, but have eternal life. I even like that one better. Remember this. And I'm not going to call you Nicodemus, but I'm going to put all of us in the story as Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you think I'm connected to God. I just want you to know you can be too. All compliments of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, at this time I pray that we surrender. Lord, even dedicate, rededicate, establish covenant, heal broken hearts. Lord, I pray that today. And Lord, I want to speak this to men. I didn't even say this in the first service, Lord, but you've put a mandate on us in leadership. And I know you require it of me as a preacher and a pastor on my family and the Hope family. But Lord, help us to realize as men, you've given us leadership. And it's not just to make sure that they have shelter. It is that. Clothing, food, even education. That whole hierarchy of needs, Lord, you lead us there, but it's not where it stops. That we're to lead our families and generations spiritually. And Lord, I ask that upon our men today here, whether it's publicly or quietly, that we surrender to that. It's just an act of obedience. Bestow upon us as leaders a spirit of excellence, Lord, on us. So as we lead people, our families and others, we are leading them to you. And Lord, thank you for the truth of what you were trying to tell Nicodemus, that he's wondering about your connection. And Lord, he's telling us that we can be connected too. Thank you for leaving heaven. Thank you for coming to be with us, being our salvation, our sacrifice, our Savior, and our resurrected Lord and King. We thank you and we give you praise. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. We pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me, please? Counselors, would you find your spot? Team's going to lead us. Here is the invitation, and the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.